Next up on Coast to Coast, we're going to talk about subtle energy and what it does, crossing over, universal laws, you name it, we've got it next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Rich Walston with us, of course, author of Subtle Energy and the World We Experience. Rich had the 25 years in the Christian church before seeing that he wanted to expand his spiritual growth beyond Western traditions and discovered some ways to improve those psychic abilities, confidence, by tapping into subtle energies, which we're going to talk about tonight. He's a clairvoyant energy worker and healer. You've got special gifts there, Rich. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Well, great to be here, George. Thank you very much.
Subtle energy. What does that mean?
Well, subtle energy is the building blocks for all other energy, such as all the matter that's created in the universe is subtle energy. So our atoms, DNA, and our even our thought processes and our body is composed from subtle energy.
How did you manifest this and come across this? You know, 25 years in the Christian church doing what you did, and all of a sudden you wanted to change a little bit. Not a knock at the Christian church by any means, but how did you change?
Well, I had some phenomenal experiences in the Christian movement because I had the gift of healing. I could lay hands on people and they'd be healed, and I could see other things in other dimensions, which people would call maybe angels or demons and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was really perplexed over what it was about. I wanted to know how it works and why it works. And the whole phenomena of why it works sometimes and why it doesn't work other times just really got me confused. So I started learning about subtle energy from several people. And then with the gifts that I have, I was able to start seeing things and understanding things like, what are angels, and how does energy work for healing? And it's been a growing process over the years now, and it's developed. I keep developing more insight as I work with it.
That's amazing, and I've always believed that there was something to all of this, Rich. Did it come naturally for you?
Well, I was born with these abilities, but I never really was able to develop them until after I departed from the religious understanding part of it and shifted more into understanding subtle energy. Because I have the ability to see vortexes of energy and how they work, and I was starting to gain understanding by the help of some other people. And now I have a fairly good understanding of how everything works. I don't understand everything, but I can probably explain it in simple terms, and we can have some fun with it tonight if you want.
Sure. I'm always in for some fun, Rich.
Did you bring your spoons to work tonight?
I can get some. Are you doing a little Uri Geller on us?
Yeah, we're going to have an audience participation in a few minutes.
All right, well, let's give everybody a little heads up. What do you want them to get?
Get a couple spoons out of your kitchen drawer. It's like soup spoons, something that fits in the palms of your hands. And let me explain just a little bit more about energy.
Sure.
So that people understand kind of an idea of what we're doing here.
We'll do the spoon bending next hour, okay? And give me an idea, how long will it take you to talk people through it?
Oh, this is going to be really quick.
Okay, all right.
No, we're not bending spoons. We're going to use spoons to get rid of excessive energy.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, so basically, subtle energy is either passive or active. It's like you look out in the universe, you see all this black, and that's like passive energy. It's not really doing anything. It's kind of like unorganized matter. It still exists.
Yeah.
But then we have active energy, and it's expressed in either positive or negative polarity. So that affects our body very much because half of our body works off of the negative polarity that we draw from the Earth and the positive polarity that we get from the universe. So our bodies are a composite of energy fields. Now, the term chakra has been used for a long, long time and all it is it means a wheel. Because when you look at the human chakra, it's a really, they're revolving little disks of energy. And each one of these energy centers has six little revolving disks on the left and on the right and in the front and in the back and on the top and the bottom. And they all have positive or negative polarity. And they're like spinning little orbs of energy within us. And it's really fascinating. If you've ever heard of Killian photography,
sure. It reads auras. It sees auras, right?
Yeah. So you can have somebody take your picture, and it'll actually show you the colors that you're vibrating at, because the way the chakra vibrates to certain frequencies, and it's associated with color and sound.
And not everybody necessarily has the same color, right?
That's right. And your aura, which is the bubble around your body that holds all of the energy in, it can expand and contract. So the colors of your aura can change. And they change daily. They change when you're angry. They change when you're sleeping. Or if you're in love with somebody, you'll be radiating a whole bunch of green and blue.
If you're sick, what happens?
Well, you'll just kind of go into the red and the oranges, and it's very fascinating because some people just make an art of studying people's auras. Now, I can see people's auras, but I do a lot of other things besides just read auras. But it's very, very interesting.
You're like a little like Edgar Casey was.
Well, sort of. Yeah.
I mean, he used to pick up auras. There was always this tremendous story I always use on the air when we get to segments like this, Rich, and we're here now, so I'll tell you. He was getting on an elevator in a high-rise in those rickety elevators in those days, and he was just ready to step in, and he sees all these people in there, and for the first time, he could not see any auras, and he kind of panicked. He bolted back. He didn't go in the elevator.
The doors
closed. Elevator cable snapped.
Yeah.
Down it went with everybody in there. He would have been in there.
Yeah, when you don't see an aura in people, then it means they don't have much longer to live.
Usually. Right. It's
burned
out.
It's kind of a scary process.
It is scary. Would you tell somebody, if you didn't see the aura, would you tell them you're going to be dying soon?
Because I would ask them what's going on in their lives.
It could be health-related, but could it also be an impending accident? That maybe they don't have an aura because, you know, those upstairs know what's going on, and hence there's no aura there. Could it be an accident that could occur?
Yes, it could be one of that, or it could be the fact that they're doing something foolish, like involved in some sort of dark energy.
Mm-hmm. Drugs, something like that.
Yeah, that's drugs. Going to create a problem for them, so... I would probably just warn them and ask them what's going on in your life and pay attention. If there's anything that I could do, I would see if I could help them. Because it's not always cut and dry. Sometimes you can pull somebody out of those situations.
All right, but how would you approach somebody like that?
Well, I would ask them, I would probably explain to them that I can see the energy around their body, and are they willing to discuss that with me? It's always their free will, whether they want to discuss anything with me. And if they said no, then that's fine.
That's
their
it.
Choice. If they said, yeah, what do you think? And then I would ask them some questions to find out exactly what I could find out about what's going on in their lives.
So if they walk away from you, let's assume they don't want anything to do with this.
That's their free will.
They walk away. You don't yell after them, you're going to die. Nothing like that. You just ignore it.
Well, I would say, you know, I think that you're something's going to happen to you bad, but it's your choice whether you want to know about it or not.
Do you know these people?
No.
Okay. So how many of them, though, I mean, would you come up to somebody in a supermarket if you didn't see an aura around them and say something to them? Because they would probably run away from you. Wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, I see a lot of dead people more than live people's auras.
Yeah.
I cross souls over, and I have spirits coming to me all the time. And my wife was in the hospital recently. It was late at night, and I'm walking down the hall, and these apparitions appear before me, and these spirits come out and ask me if I can assist them. And they're easier to work with than the live people.
Yeah, they sure are. I mean, I really, if I didn't know you and you came up to me, some stranger, and said, I don't see an aura around you, and I think you're going to be dying soon. Hey, you, time to call security. Get him out of here. But if I knew you and I went to you for help, I'd be more apt to understand and accept what you were telling me.
Well, I might pull out a book out of my briefcase and give it to him.
To kind of temper.
Ask him to go home and read it and then give him my phone number.
Yeah, something like that. Tell me more about the souls of the dead that cross over.
Well, there's just a tremendous amount of souls that don't cross over. I don't know if people understand what that means.
Tell us.
Okay. First of all, to break the paradigm of thinking about souls, let me explain to you what a soul is.
Okay.
It's really the consciousness of man that lives on when he dies. And the consciousness means it's the ability to hold memory in form. Now, we have two souls. This is what's really mind-boggling to most people. Because of religious teaching, they think we only have one soul. But we really have two. We have a higher consciousness that connects into our spiritual aspect of who we are. And when we die, that consciousness rises into a higher dimension. And I can explain a little bit more about dimensions in a minute. Our lower consciousness is the part that holds the body in form, and it's connected to the energy of the earth. It's connected to our DNA. It's connected to the family flows from generation and generations. So that consciousness of people actually goes back into the earth in what we call the Akashic Records, and that really is the earth crust is really basically a big computer chip that holds energy, and it records the energy of every living thing on earth. So that's why when many people are born and they remember things, they go, well, I've been here before.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Or you'll wonder, why does the family traits continue to be the same? Well, it's because of the energy that's held in form through the consciousness. Remember, the consciousness is just the ability, the energy, to hold the form of memory. So when I'm crossing souls over, I'm either dealing with low souls or high souls. And I go into graveyards, and I'll cross over hundreds of souls at one time, and most of them are the low souls that are attached to the earth, that many, many times when people die of trauma and shock,
they hang around, right?
They hang around because they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And just imagine, you're walking down the street, and all of a sudden you hit by a bus, and you didn't see it coming, and the next thing you know, you're standing there looking over your body, what's left of it, and you're thinking, hey, that's George down there. Yeah. What's going on?
Or you maybe know? You don't even see your body, Rich. Do you keep walking?
Well, it depends. If you step on a landmine and you're blown to pieces, you're not going to see any of it.
There's not much to see.
But many times, people will see their own funerals, and they'll go to their funerals. They'll be standing over their casket, and they'll look at all the people that come to their funerals. My father was a classic example. When he was dying in the hospital, I went in there with him, with my daughters, and I sat there, and he was in a coma, and I was able to communicate with his lower soul, and we talked about our life and what he had learned while he was on earth and my lessons that I had learned, because I had to be a caretaker for several years, and I learned unconditional love by loving someone that had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
It was mean half the time and didn't understand what they were doing.
Right, right.
His higher soul had already left. It had gone up to the higher realms. But his low soul was still in the hospital because it's connected to the energy field of your body, or what we call the autonomic nervous system.
Now, does that energy field die off completely upon death?
Well, yes. It goes back into the earth, or it departs from the body. It doesn't stay with the body.
Yeah, does it leave immediately?
I don't know how soon it will leave, but what happens is the spirit, now a lot of people don't understand what the spirit is. The spirit is not the same as the soul.
A lot of people think it is. So they're
okay, let me explain to you what the spirit is. Behind your heart chakra, there's a little light of energy. It's called your spirit, and it's what holds everything in form in your chakra system. And the energy comes from the universe. And if you want to use words like, I use the word prime creator, you can use God or whatever you choose to use. But there is energy flowing into your chakras, both positive and negative polarity. And it holds your chakra system in form. And when you die, and your physical body dies, this spirit, this energy, merges with the high and the low self, and it continues to hold. It provides the energy for the soul to exist, continue to exist. So when people say, well, I see a spirit, okay, what they're saying is, I see the energy of that soul as like an orb. I take pictures all the time of orbs, and they come to me, and I speak to them because they're really souls, and I find out why they're hanging around and offer my assistance. So going back to the spirit, it's very interesting because the spirit continues with the soul and provides the energy. So our souls don't die. They just transform to different dimensions of energy.
Now, when all this is occurring, all this is going on,
mm-hmm.
What about reincarnation? Where does that fit into the equation, or does it?
Oh, absolutely. And reincarnation is really vital because if you don't understand or believe in it, then it's very hard to comprehend the fact that you've had past life experiences. So what's interesting about reincarnation is your high soul we'll go into the higher. Now, let me explain to you about a little bit about dimensions because I'm going to lose everybody here. If you were to look at the Earth and the universe or the ionosphere of the Earth around the Earth, you could just divide it into like 10 segments, 10 different sections. And the Earth itself would be number one, and then just a little above the Earth would be number two, and number three dimension would be you and me. We're in what we call the third dimensional of energy. So now when our high soul departs from the body, it goes into either the fourth or the fifth dimension. And that's why when we see these programs with these ghosts, what are we looking at? We're looking at a soul that's kind of still in the third dimension, but most of the time it's in the fourth. Because we can't see with our naked eye what's in the fourth dimension. But some souls have the ability to manifest their energy into what we can see. Okay, I'm leading up to reincarnation, but it takes me a minute to get there.
That's okay. We're going to take the break. We'll come back and talk about that. And also we'll get into how you cleared several burial grounds. You'll have to tell us that story. And then we'll get into the spoons next hour with phone calls. Rich Ralston, our special guest right here on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, next hour we'll take your phone calls. Rich Ralston with us. His work, subtle energy, and the world we experience. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Rich Ralston with us as we talk about subtle energy. Rich, okay, we're talking about reincarnation. Let's get your thoughts on that.
Well, the why we came here in the first place was to experience as much as we can. Our souls came here to learn and to grow and to evolve. And we come back time after time to work on improving our souls or our existence and to experience so many things. This earth is quite a very interesting place to be. So it's very challenging for our souls to be here. When I talk to the souls that are departed, they go through a process of evaluation of what they learned, and then they decide to come back again and work on other things. So that's why we come back. It's quite interesting.
Now, you were able to clear some burial grounds. Tell me about that, and what do we mean by clearing?
Well, what I mean by that is that the low souls or high souls that were hanging around the burial grounds, for an example, they built a subdivision over a burial ground. It was a Native American burial ground that was back in the 1800s. And these people would move into this houses, and they couldn't stay there very long because there was so much activity. People, sounds all over the place, apparitions. But anyway, so I was asked to come in, and basically these low souls are still there. I talked to the Indian chief, and I got his approval, and there was like 60 or 70 souls staying there in their Indian attire, and they wanted to go back to what we call the Akashic Records, where their soul group is. There's a group of souls, and they stay together, and they come back and experience different things together. So I cross them over, create a vortex that goes into the earth, and they step into it and go back into the other dimension. So I've done that over here in Hawaii. They built a supermarket on top of a Hawaiian burial ground.
You're in Maui, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So imagine you work there and you're walking down the aisle and somebody pushes you and you don't know what's going on. And the next, you come in early in the morning and there's groceries stacked all the way to the ceiling of the building. And you wonder, how did that happen? But you got a whole bunch of angry spirits because somebody bulldozed their burial grounds.
Yeah, they're not happy about that.
So
can't blame
I go
them.
In and I speak to them and get them to release their anger and forgive everybody before we cross them over, because you don't want to cross angry spirits over because they'll come back angry. So you want them to forgive everybody, and then they go back and they'll be okay the next time they come back. They don't have to come back as Hawaiians. They can change into a different soul group and come back somebody else. So it's very interesting. Many of us have been many nationalities in our past lives.
The work that you have been doing, do people come to you? Do you go to them? How does that work?
Well, most people come to me. As far as clearing burial grounds, I usually just go there. I go into an area, and my guides, ancestral spirits come, angels come, and they show me areas that need to be cleared of souls. I go into a place at night, take pictures, and I'm surrounded by thousands of orbs. So I know I've got my work cut out there. So I start communicating with the souls and find out how long they've been there. Some of them have been there several thousand years. They're waiting for somebody that knows what they're doing to cross them over. Or some soul groups will stay attached to each other until everybody in their soul group has died. And those soul groups can be anywhere from 50 to 5,000 souls. And they'll all go back together. They'll all go back and return into Earth or go up into the higher dimensions, because they all want to stay together and they want to evolve together.
Rich, we've got a lot of people who have animals.
Yep.
And they're always concerned that when the animal dies, what happens to it? Does it too have a soul?
Oh, absolutely. Now, animals have souls, and they go down into the lower realms of consciousness, and they're there. Just like trees. Trees have their own consciousness. Now, it's kind of funny you would say a tree has a soul. Well, it has an energy field. So trees have the same sort of energy fields as humans and animals. So next time you prune your rose bush, just be nice to it.
You might as well. You never know, huh? Tell me about Herman the Ghost.
Well, there was this lady came to me for, she had some emotional things she wanted me to clear of her, but she had sailed around the world with her husband on this big yacht, and they were over in Singapore, and her husband got really sick and had to go in the hospital, and apparently he was sick enough where they just couldn't continue with their voyage, and so she stayed on the sailboat, and she wanted to sell the boat, and she was on the boat for several months. And every time she'd go to the front of the boat, there'd be this stinky smell. And she'd go through and clean everything, but it still stunk. And she couldn't figure it out. Finally, she put two and two together and figured there must have something to do with the supernatural. So she kind of just put two and two together, and she started talking to this entity and says, okay, you get the front of the boat and I get the back. And don't bother me and I won't bother you. So that was fine until people were coming to buy the boat. And every time they get on the boat would stink or the electrical system would short out. So she was having a heck of a time trying to sell this boat. Finally, she did, and she moved back to the States, and somebody referred her to me. And I was sitting there preparing to work on her, and this apparition appears, the face of this old sailor shows up in front of me, huh. And I'm looking at him going, who are you? You look like the old man in the sea or something. He goes, my name is Herman. And then he just disappeared on me. So I thought, well, okay. So I'm working with the lady, and we're discussing different things. And I said, oh, by the way, do you know anybody named Herman? Did you have a grandfather or somebody named Herman? She says, no, that was a ghost on my boat I named Herman.
Ha. So she saw it too.
Well, she didn't see it, but she heard it. So she named him Herman. So Herman came to me because he wanted to cross over. So I sent him into the higher realms of consciousness, and he left very happy. So it shows you that the high souls, they can travel around the world. They can go wherever they want to find somebody that can help them.
Rich, where do demons fit into this equation?
Well, the demons are located in the lower part of Earth. And the earth has its own chakra system, just like we do. And when I go down into earth, I usually don't go below the center section of the heart. We call it the heart chakra, because there are energy forms of consciousness that are not good. In other words, their intent is the opposite of benevolence. And they can get into people and create a lot of problems. And in my book, I don't suggest people playing with Ouija boards and calling up spirits unless they really know what they're doing.
Good advice.
Otherwise, they'll find themselves preoccupied with some entity that wants to have fun with them in some unusual manner that's not pleasing to them.
Who is stronger, the human individual who wants to fight off demons and evil, or the demons? I mean, can anybody get hit?
I think so. I've been hit many times by them, and I do energy work myself. I've almost died a couple times.
Oh, my God. What happened?
But I have other energy workers come and help me, and then I call on all my helpers like angels and ascended masters and all these, and they come in and help clear me. But a lot of it has to do with your will, but you're dealing with a realm of consciousness that you don't understand.
How did you
it
almost
operates in a different dimension?
Rich, tell us how you almost died.
Well, I follow souls when they die. I go the low souls. I go down. I create a vortex and they go into it. And I follow them into the vortex the earth.
You wallow around with them.
Yeah, and I've gone to the wrong places at the wrong time.
Is there a hell?
Well, there's places that are very unpleasant. Let's put it that way.
So you've been down there.
Yeah.
How'd you get out?
I always have an angel that comes with me and helps me, assist me.
Have you ever almost been stuck?
No, I've always been able to get myself out because I've always had a backup. And I always have a backup to pull me out.
Can you describe what this lower level, this other plane, looks like?
It's dark. It's very low vibrational energy. It's some places it's very warm because you're in the earth. And those lower creatures, they're not very friendly because basically they've come here under different premises of not being, you know, they've got their own agenda. So I don't really spend much time down there.
I don't blame you.
I would rather be up in the heavenly realms where the angels are, and I like to go up into the higher dimensions and see the souls up there, and they go to the little crystal palaces and all kinds of different places to their soul groups, and it's very interesting. Every soul group goes through basically a different place. So when you're asking, well, describe what heaven is, pretty much anything you think of is up there for a time being anyway.
Do you remember the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Those entities, those ghoulish entities, mm-hmm. that would come out of the sewers and stuff to grab somebody, is that real?
It's not far-fetched. It may not exactly look like that. But
pretty darn close, isn't it?
Well, they take on dark energy. Some spirits have the ability to manifest themselves into different figures and forms. So what they try to do is put fear in you, because fear is the tool where they can get your energy. Fear is the worst thing you can have. So when I go into those things and I see them, I get angry with them. And they leave me alone because I have more energy than they do. And then I bring in more light. Light dispels darkness.
Well, it sure does.
That's why people that do what I do are called light workers. It just simply means that we've learned to manifest energy as light. But there are a lot of dark energies that are very, very powerful. And they're not to be discredited by any means. They are very powerful, and they should be respected and left alone.
Rich, as you get into this, do you find, and this is what it hurt Edgar Cayce. He did so many trance readings,
tried
to help so many people. It drained him. It ended up killing him.
Right.
Are you concerned about that?
Yes. I only work on so many people per day and I do take time off, and I live in Maui where I go swimming every day. You have to really, really watch your energy level when you do this kind of stuff. And Edgar Cayce, he couldn't say no to people. He just kept, you know, people would come all hours of the day, and he just kept working until
he never stopped.
He just died. And even though his whole family warned him. So, I mean, there's a lot of energy workers that don't live too long because of that.
And you feel that sometimes?
Yes. And that's why I try to limit my work.
Yet sometimes it's hard to turn people back, isn't it?
Well, I just reschedule them. That's all there is to it. I have to explain to them, I'm no good to you if I'm sick.
Is there sometimes an immediacy to what they need?
Well, I'll refer them to someone else I know that does the same thing I do. The only people I don't turn away is my own family, and sometimes, you know, you've got to do something. But I have other people I know that are very, very good at this, and I'll just refer them to someone else that can help them, because I've learned not to be too tired, and I've had to turn several people away this week because I'm just too tired. I say, I'm sorry. We'll have to schedule something next week, or here's the number of a couple other people you can contact if you choose.
When you're trying to heal somebody, do you have to touch them, or do you just have to be near them? How does that work?
Well, most of my healing is telepathic. I don't have to be with anybody. All I have to do is tie into their energy field. The first thing is you have to have their permission, and then you have to, because maybe the illness is there for a reason. And you're not to mess with somebody's karma. You're not to heal someone that's not supposed to be healed because maybe they're supposed to experience it. So not everybody gets healed. That's hard for healers to accept because everybody wants to think they can do everything for everybody. But they really need to learn. You need to ask permission and get permission from their higher self, their angels, to work on them.
Well, when people want to get healed and it does not work, how upset do they get?
How much what?
And it doesn't work, how upset do they get?
I just had a lady last week that she just couldn't understand, and I said, well, I'm sorry, but there's a reason for why you are the way you are. Now, let's quit looking at you as a victim, and let's look at yourself as there's lessons to be learned. That's one of the laws of the universe. It's called the law of relativity. We come here to experience. We are thrown problems to solve, challenges to occur. That's why we don't have these blissful little lives that we run around and anything happens to us, because we're supposed to have stuff happen to us. And if they get upset, there's nothing I can do about it. I try to reason with them, but they have to understand there's a reason. There's another universal law, the law of cause and effect. There's a reason for everything. You came here to Earth, you got to figure it out. You came here, you need to figure out what your lessons are.
Do some of the spirits, are they tricksters sometimes, playing games?
Oh, absolutely.
What do they do? Any examples?
Well, I can talk, my father-in-law, now he's a good guy, okay? He died about, 10 years ago. And I'll read you this. I'll just tell you a little experience. He came to me tonight when I was cooking dinner, and his name is George, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah, nice guy.
Most Georges are.
And he came, and I was looking at him, and I said, George, how come you're wearing your American Oil work shirt? It's blue with a orange tag that says American Oil, because he used to own a gas station. And I said, you've been dead for 10 or 12 years. How come, don't you have a white robe or something to wear? I mean, he says, I like my uniform. So anyway, so he comes and does all kinds of stuff, like he'll knock on the door, our bedroom door, and we get up and answer. There's nobody there. He actually turned the faucet on in our patio, and the water was running out of our faucet outside, and I thought it was some prankster teenagers. I go running out there, and there's nobody there. He just wanted to get our attention. He leaves coins with us all the time. He creates these kind of like spider web, cobwebs. So if I'm walking someplace and I feel like I'm walking through a spider web, he's there to tell me he's there.
Tell him to leave gold coins next time.
I've been working on those $100 bills.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's an example, kind of a funny one. My wife one day at home, she asked me for some grocery money, so I just gave her a $20 bill and put it on her bed. And she laid it on the bed. Then she left the room to get a basket of laundry to fold on the bed, okay? So when she returned, the money wasn't on the bed. Well, she had to use the restroom really bad. So she dumped the laundry basket in the middle of the bed and ran into the bathroom. And when she came out, there was a $20 bill sitting on the basket.
Right there. There's no way by dropping it, it would have pulled it up to the top or anything.
No.
That's bizarre. All right, Rich, stay with us. We're going to take this quick break. We're going to come back with phone calls for you next on Coast to Coast AM.